Stripped of my clothes, I climbed into a tree. My bare thighs embraced the smooth, moist bark. My sandals trod upon the branches. At the top, yet under the leaves in shadow from the heat, I sat astride a projecting branch and balanced my feet in the void. It started to rain, and as water drops fell and slipped over my skin, my hands were stained with moss, and my toes were reddened from crushed flowers. When the wind passed through the branches, I felt the fair life of the tree. Then I pressed my legs yet closer and laid my open lips upon the hairy nape of a bough. One woman may envelop herself in white wool. Another may clothe herself in silk and gold. Still another, cover herself with flowers, green leaves, and grapes. Me? I enjoy life only when naked. My lover, take me as I am, without robes or jewels or sandals. Take me as my mother made me in a night of love long past. And if I please thee, forget not to tell me so. For here is Belitis. My hair is black with its own blackness, and my lips red of their own color. My locks float about me free and round like feathers. And oh, my breasts, sweet flowers of flesh, how rich in voluptuousness you are. My breasts in my hands, how soft you are, how warm, how youthfully perfumed. Your sleek, rounded forms are the honor of my brown torso. When I imprison you in bands of gold, or when I deliver you all naked, you precede me with your splendor. One evening on the soft grass, young girls with hair of violets all danced together, one of each two playing the part of lover. The virgin said, "We are not for you," and as though they were bashful, concealed their virginity. The other said, "We have come to seek you." They arranged their robes like the tunics of men, and they struggled gently while entwining their dancing legs. Then, each pretending to be vanquished, took her friend by the ears like a cup with two handles, and inclining the head, drank a kiss. Two little girls carried me away to their house, and with the door firmly closed, they lighted the wick of a lamp and wished to dance for me. Seated on a mattress raised upon two trestles, Galata sang in a sharp voice and struck the measures with her sonorous little palms. Kaisi danced shakily, then stopped, suffocated with laughter, took her sister by the breasts, bit her on the shoulder, and then threw her down like a goat that wishes to play. Then Selena entered and, seeing us so familiar, seated herself upon the bench. She took Galatas upon one knee, Kaisi on the other, and said to me, "Come here, little one." But I remained away. She resumed, "Art thou afraid of us? Approach. These children love thee. They will teach thee something thou knowest not. The honey caresses of a woman. Man is violent and lazy. Doubtless thou knowest this. Avoid him. He has a flat chest, a rough skin, short hair, shaggy arms. But women are altogether beautiful. Women alone know how to love. Stay with us, Belitis. Stay. And if thou hast an ardent soul, thou wilt see thy beauty as in a mirror upon the bodies of women, thy lovers." I know not whether I should espouse Galatas or Kaisi. as they're not like each other, one would not console me for the other, and I fear lest I choose badly. They each hold one of my hands and one of my breasts. But to which shall I give my mouth? To which shall I give my heart and all that one cannot divide? It is shameful to remain thus all three in one house. It is Gelatus whom I prefer, but I cannot reject Chaise. What would become of her all alone? Shall I leave them as they were and take for myself another friend? That evening a storm broke and continued all night. Nesedika of a beautiful hair had come to spin with me. She remained for fear of the mud and pressed one against the other. We filled my little bed. When girls lie together, sleep remains at the door. Miletus, tell me, whom lovest thou? She slipped her leg over mine to caress me softly, and she said against my mouth, I know, Miletus, whom thou lovest. Close thine eyes, for I am he. I replied, touching her, do I not know thou art a girl? Thy jest fits badly. But she replied, in truth, I am he, if thou wilt close thine eyes. These are his arms. These are his hands. And tenderly in the silence, she enchanted my reverie into a singular illusion. I rub my eyes. Is it already day, I wonder? Who is this near me? A woman? By Aphrodite, I'd forgotten. To what country am I come? And what is this island where one learns thus of love? If I were not all wearied, I would believe it a dream. Is it possible that this is Lesbo? She sleeps. She is certainly beautiful. But this astonishing countenance, this virile breast, and these narrow hips. I would like to go before she awakens. But alas, I'm against I must step over her, and I'm afraid lest I touch her and she will take me as I pass. The next day I went to her house, and we read in one we saw each other. She led me into her chamber where we would be alone. I had so many things to say to her, but when I saw her I forgot them all. I was astonished that nothing in her face had changed. That she still resembled my friend, although since the sleepless night, she had learned so many things startling to me. Suddenly I seated myself upon her knees, took her in my arms, and whispered quickly, anxiously into her ear. Then she laid her cheek against mine and told me all. I have no friend, she said. For the nearest city is 40 stala from here. I live alone. If thou wishest, I will follow thee. I will follow thee to thy houseward at the other side of the island, and I will live with thee until thou sendest me away. Let us go. At my house she entered. Then passionately, eyes half closed, she united her lips with mine, and our tongues touched each other. Never was there in my life a kiss like that one. stood against me, all love and contentment. One of her knees, little by little, mounted between my hot thighs, which gave way as though for a lover. My hand wandered over her tunic, seeking to divine the hidden body, which by turns undulated, yielding itself, or arching, stiffened itself with shiverings of skin. With her eyes in delirium, she pointed toward the bed, but we had not the right to love before the ceremony of wedding, and we separated brusquely. In the morning, they have a wedding feast at the house of my mother. I wore the white veil, and Nesedika the male tunic. Then amidst 20 women, I put on my robes of festival, perfumed with bakris, sifted with powder of gold. My skin, cool and animated, attracted furtive hands. In my chamber filled with foliage, I waited for her like a spouse. And she carried me away on a chariot between her and the nymphagogue. One of her little breasts burned my hand. Nesedika carried me under the shoulders and under the knees. We passed over the threshold covered with roses. With one hand, she opened her tunic and offered me her sweet, warm breasts, as one would offer to the goddess a pair of living turtle doves. "Love them well," she said to me. "They are dear little babes. I busy myself with them when I'm alone. I play with them. I give them pleasure. I douche them with milk. I powder them with flowers. My soft hair, which dries them, is dear to their little points. I caress them and shiver. I unfold them in wool. Because I shall never have children, be their nursling, my love. And because they're so far from my mouth, give them kisses for me. Sweetly close thine arms like a girdle about me. Oh, touch my skin thus. Neither water nor the breeze of noontide are as soft as thy hand. Today, endear me, little sister, it is thy turn. Remember thou the tendernesses which I taught thee in the night past. Thy lips descend upon my lips. All thine unbound hair follows them like a caress after a kiss. It glides over my left breast. It hides thine eyes from me. Give me thy hand. It is hot. Press mine. Hold it always. Hands better than the mouths unite, and their passion is equaled by nothing. Take off thy bandolets and thy clasps and thy tunic. Remove even thy sandals, even the ribbons of thy legs, even the band of thy breast. Wash the black from thine eyebrows and the red from thy lips, efface the white of thy shoulders, and uncurl thy hair in the water. For I would have thee all pure as thou wert born upon the bed, at the feet of thy mother before thy proud father. So chaste that my hand and thy hand will make thee redden even to thy lips, and one word of mine and thine ear will fill with an excess of love thy wandering eyes. Do not arrange thy hair, for fear the overheated iron burn thy neck or locks. Leave it upon thy shoulders and spread over thine arms. Do not dress thyself, for fear the girdle redden the slender folds of thy hips. Remain naked like a little girl, for I would not see upon thy body other marks, Nesedika, than the blemish of an overlong kiss, the scratch of a sharp nail, or the reddening bar of my embrace. Beneath thy hair thou disassemblest thy moist eyes, thy trembling mouth, and the pink flowers of thine ears. But nothing stops my regard, nor the warm breath of my kiss. Under the cover of transparent wool we slipped, she and I. Even our heads were covered, and the lamp shone through the cloth about us. Thus I saw her dear body in a mysterious light. We were very near one to the other, more free, more intimate, more naked. We had left our hair bound up in order to be still more uncovered, and in the close air of a bed, the odors of two women ascended. Nothing in the world, not even the lamp, saw us that night. Which of us was loved, she alone and I could say. But the men know nothing of it. I will kiss from one end to the other the long dark wings spreading from thy neck. Captive dove whose heart pounds beneath my hand. I will take thy lips within my lips, as an infant takes the breast of its mother. For this kiss penetrates profoundly and is sufficient to thy love. I will move my tongue lightly along thine arms and upon thy neck, and I will wind along thy sensitive sides the lengthening caress of my nails. Like thy lips, I would close thy burning eyelids with my kiss. Love me, not with smiles, flutes, or plaited flowers, but with thy heart and thy tears, as I love thee with my breast and my lamentations. When thy breasts alternate with my breasts, when I feel thy life touching my life, when thy knees stand up behind me, then my panting mouth knows not how more to unite with thine. Hold me as I hold thee. See, the lamp is died out. We turn and twist in the night, but I press thy moving body and I hear thy perpetual plaint. Oh, woman. Eros leads us in sorrow. Thou wilt suffer less on the bed in bringing a child into the world than when giving birth to thy love. We rest, our eyes closed. The silence is deep about our couch. But she, believing me asleep, lays her warm hand upon my arm. She murmurs, Bilitis, thou sleepest? My heart throbs, but without response I respire regularly like a woman couched in dreams. Then she begins to speak. Because thou hearest me not, she says. Oh, how I love thee. And she repeats my name. Trembling fingers. It is mine, this mouth, mine alone. Is there another so beautiful in the world? Oh, my happiness, my happiness. Mine are these naked arms, this neck and hair. Oh, Nesedik, I love thee. Not only as a lover, though thou hast come forth from my laboring entrails. When stretched upon my knees, thy two frail arms about me, thou seekest my breast with clinging mouth, and press my nipples softly between thy palpitating lips. Then I dream that at some time I have truly nursed this delicate mouth, supple and moist. Sleep. I will cradle thee with one hand upon my knee which rocks thee. Sleep so.